The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports,
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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and there's a lot to talk about and a lot of non-sportsy stuff. Let's have some fun today. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Tyler Cito running the show today. If you want to get in, 713-780 ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. Can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Well, you can't. Aaron's not here. Never mind. You can get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday. We're almost to the weekend. Let's have some fun today. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
The same. A lot of stuff,
okay,
a lot of sports.
Right.
Just loving life, my friend. Ready to have a fun show today. I've had a pretty good 24 hours as a human being. I'm not going to lie.
Congratulations.
Last night after the show, we decided.
The show happened in the last 24 hours, so you had a great show.
Well, yeah. I thought we had a great show yesterday. It was fun. We talked about large people and stuff like that. I'm always down for that. Which is kind of the point of my next story. The wife got home late, didn't have anything to cook, so she's like, "Hey, let's go to El Tiempo and have dinner." I'm thinking, you know, okay, let's see what it's like. If it's crowded, we just won't go in. And we got there, and they had it set up pretty nice. We sat on one end of the bar, and then the nearest couple was like 10 feet away, and then the other couple was at the other end of the bar, and it wasn't packed. And it was really nice. We just sat there and had dinner out for the first time in 2 months. And really the only thing different was usually we would have hung around and had a few more margaritas after we were done. But when we were done with dinner, we went home. But actually went out to dinner and wore jeans for just the second time in 2 months. And nobody was coughing. The bartender was wearing her mask the whole time. And she kind of looked hot in it. And, you know, didn't feel at all at risk. For whatever that's worth. So,
okay.
But there was one thing that happened. One of the couples at the bar clearly had not seen each other in a long time.
Oh, they were very excited.
Yeah. And honestly, they were basically dry humping at the bar.
Nice. Did you video it and send it to me?
I was about to video it, but then I thought, okay, well, I was going to video it and send it to Pornhub, but the title was going to have to be American Hoggers.
Oh, it wasn't great.
Hey, and I know I'm terrible for saying that, but if you're going to hump in a restaurant in front of me,
you might want to be hot.
Yeah, that's all. But no, it was cool. It was fun to get out, and yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't feel uncomfortable at all. The wife did a little bit, but if it had been more crowded. And they were definitely less than 50% capacity for sure. But if it had been more crowded, I don't know that I'd want to do it. So I guess that's, you know, as we roll things back out, I guess those are things we'll find out. But shout out to El Tiempo, who's been on our station before, had a great dinner, and it was awesome.
Very nice. So you've broken the restaurant seal.
Yes.
Okay.
So first time, and like I said, it was, you know, It was nice to be able to sit at a bar and, you know, have a couple drinks and have a nice dinner and not feel like, oh boy, these people are all on top of me. And, you know, I wore my mask in there. I took it off to eat and then put it back on when I was done and just, you know, did the, you know, tried to be responsible, washed hands, did all those things. So, you know, hopefully I don't have the Rona.
I hope not, because I'm going to see you next week.
Yeah, I know. But I figured. Yeah, I really wasn't planning on doing anything like that. It was kind of a spur of the moment thing. It's like, yeah, let's get out and do something. And it was cool, man. It was nice to be able to get out. And as long as I don't feel like there's people on top of me like that, then, well, I mean, the people can be on top of each other, but, you know, I feel like, you know, I felt comfortable. Now, we'll see what happens when a place is crowded.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what would you have done if you'd gone in and it had felt crowded?
We'd have left.
Okay.
Yeah. If I felt like I had to sit, well, now we probably would have tried to get a table and see how close they were, because we didn't. We just walked in and the end of the bar was wide open, and it, like I said, it was about 10 feet away from the other people, so we just went and sat at the bar.
Okay.
And yeah, you know, I think they're doing a really good job of keeping things clean and safe and everything else. So, yeah, it was nice. So I have stepped out and had a dinner.
Hey, I was hearing Tyler and Josh on the last show. Tyler, did you ever come up with a movie that everyone loves and you hate?
Yeah, I said Godfather 2. I would probably say Godfather, like most of those series. Like,
you hate the Godfather movies?
I don't hate it. I'm not as into it as everybody. I think there's better gangster movies out there.
Okay. Fred, what's some of those movies for you that you feel like everyone loves but you don't think is all that great?
That's kind of hard. I hadn't really thought about it because I mean, there's movies that people might think are great that I just think are pretty good, but I still don't hate them.
I'll give you an example of one, and yeah. I know you're going to be upset when I say this because I know that you love this movie. I don't think The Big Lebowski is all that funny.
All right. I will ask you, how many times have you watched it?
Twice.
Okay, because that movie is really, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, what is the big deal?
It literally gets better every single
watch.
Yeah,
it's like with every watch, it gets better each time.
But is that a good thing?
No.
Like, that movie, just the plot of that movie, it would almost be impossible to write a movie like that and not have it be hilarious. Yet somehow, that movie's not that funny to me.
That's one, I swear, it takes a bunch of watches. I felt the same way after I saw it the first couple times. And then once you've watched it three or four times and there's so many little things that you pick up, I love it. So
okay.
I get where you're coming from, though, because I felt the same way about it.
And I'll give you a couple more that are high on my list. Oh, go ahead. Not many people what?
Not many people are going to commit to watching a movie four or five times, let's be honest.
No, especially if it's not that good the first time.
Right.
Like, that's the great thing about Billy Madison. Billy Madison is now not as funny to me as it was the first time I saw it, but only because I know exactly what's going to be said and done in every single scene. So I've seen it enough times that, you know, the thrill is a little bit gone, but I still find it quite hilarious. The Big Lebowski, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, okay. And then you get the pressure of everyone saying, oh, it's such a great movie. And then you watch it again. And then, if I watched it by myself the second time. But if I were in a room full of people, I would have done, like, the look around and make sure that, you know, I wasn't the only one not laughing. I don't know. It's just a disappointment to me relative to what people think it is.
That's fair. And I've heard a lot of people say that. But, and I, like I said, I was the exact same way until I got into it about the fourth or fifth time, and now I just want to be the dude when I grow up. That's it.
Another one, and I think I've told you this before, that everyone loves and I think is stupid, The Matrix. I don't understand why that's such like a mind-bending movie for people. It's not that good. It's not well acted. It's not really particularly well written. There's some cool fight scenes and stuff, but it's not a good movie. It's not like a great film. Like, people try to make it out like you've got to see The Matrix or you don't know what life is. That's absurd to me. That's not that great of a movie.
I liked the first one. The second and third were just absolute garbage, and it ruined the first one for me. And that used to, that's some movie that, you know, like, there's a lot of movies whenever they come on, I'll watch them. That's really not one anymore. I won't watch it if it's on because, for one thing, the plot is harder to follow than, you know, one of your arguments. I mean, it's just, you know, it's out there. And, yes, I don't think it's brilliant by any stretch or groundbreaking. It's just different.
Okay, I've got a couple more. And this one, I have a feeling you're going to like this movie and you're going to be mad about this one too. But it's the same multiple universe. What reality are we living in? Donnie Darko is a stupid movie.
I did not like Donnie Darko.
Oh, okay. I thought for sure you were going to be a Donnie Darko guy. Nope. Hate when people tell me how clever Donnie Darko is. That's not good. And then these two movies were so critically acclaimed. I mean, people just could not stop talking about them. They were Oscar-nominated, and I'm sure I bitched about them at the time on this very radio show. The first one is Birdman. If you haven't seen Birdman, congratulations. It is a stupid, stupid movie. He's not a superhero. He's not. I don't even know what the movie's about. It's a terrible movie, and it's almost impossible to sit through the whole thing and watch it. It's awful.
I agree 100%, man. I tried to. I heard so many great things, and I sat down to watch it, and I'm like, "What the crap is this?"
That's a bad movie. And then the last one, the more recent one that I saw that everyone was raving about, and I decided to give it a chance because I like the director. And then I watched it, and it is so incredibly boring. Is Boyhood. It's just like, I know it's clever the way they put it together, you know, following these actors around for 20 years or whatever it was. And that, I guess in a way that's cool, but it doesn't take away from the fact that the movie is sucky and boring. That's a bad movie.
I'll give you a couple.
Okay.
And they're both from one of my all-time favorite directors. And one of them is Inception, which
I'm with you on that. Not all that great.
Everybody raved about Inception, and I'm like, oh, it's Christopher Nolan. I'll be into this. And about halfway through, I'm like, okay, this is basically Matrix Dream. And I thought that was disappointing, and I thought Interstellar was awful, and that was also Christopher Nolan. So,
Interstellar, which one was that?
That was the 2014 movie he did with McConaughey and Anne Hathaway.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that either. Yeah, I'm with you.
And I like sci-fi movies, but one thing I've noticed about sci-fi is if you miss big time.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a lot of big budget failures like that. And I found that one disappointing. And then the other space movie that had George Clooney and What's-Her-Face, that's another one that
Gravity. Gravity.
I got a good sci-fi one that
almost
I don't like that, and honestly, like, I've never seen it all the way through, and I don't think that I ever will. Fifth Element.
Yeah, overrated. 100% overrated. I don't
what
like really any sci-fi.
What was that? I didn't hear it.
I said Fifth Element.
Oh, Fifth Element. It's funny. But it's not supposed to be great. It's supposed to be kind of a spoof.
JD says if you like Billy Madison at all, that's probably why you didn't like Big Lebowski. Billy Madison sucks rhinoceros rooster. Adam Sandler has like 2.5 good movies. I agree with what you said at the end. Of his 2.5 good movies, one is Billy Madison, the other is Happy Gilmore. Whatever else you like beyond that of Adam Sandler, I can agree or disagree with, but those two are indisputable. That's the two best movies he's ever made.
Lamont mentions Avatar. That's another one. All that is Dances with Wolves with blue people.
Avatar is a stupid movie too, and it was too long. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah,
exact same plot as Dances with Wolves.
There's a theme that sci-fi is like something that I don't particular. I mean, I know I don't like it, but I hate when people act like those movies are something special. You know, like they've really touched on something here because this alien has What's that, the movie about the merman?
Oh, the one that won Best Picture?
The Shape of Water. Oh, my God. Throw me off a bridge. Ugh. What a horrible, horrible. In fact, listen, M. Night Shyamalan, Shyamalama Ding Dong, you want me to give a list of M. Night Shyamalan's really great movies?
It's one.
It's one. It's The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
I'll give you what was that one?
Signs was good.
It was good. It wasn't great. And really, The Sixth Sense, once you know the ending, It ain't all that great either. I mean, it's good for one shot. And once you get that shot, it's like, okay. I like the one that had the split. I kind of like that one. But it wasn't great. I mean, it was a fun movie because the guy was like a monster. I kind of liked it, but it wasn't like a great movie. Yeah, so anytime people, The Village, that's a stupid movie. And I got so mad when people would tell me it was good. The Last Airbender, that's a bad movie too.
Well, that was a complete failure.
Lady in the Water, bad movie.
Yes.
I guess he didn't write, M. Night Shyamalan didn't do the that was Guillermo del Toro, right?
Yeah.
The Shape of Water was del Toro, yeah. But the Shape of Water was, the mermaid one, not the Lady in the Water, that was Shyamalan.
Yeah, Shyamalan. Shape of Water is Guillermo del Toro, which, by the way, what's the best Guillermo del Toro movie? I mean, isn't he widely regarded as one of the best directors ever?
Yeah, that Pan's Labyrinth movie. Nah.
Right. He's
one of those. That's why that movie won Best Picture. He's got this great reputation. He's never done anything that I thought was even remotely good.
You know what he did that was pretty good? The original Hellboy. That was pretty good.
It wasn't bad, yeah. Yeah.
And then I feel, you know what he's responsible for? Blade 2.
That was the worst Blade. Blade 3 was the best.
This guy,
Blade 2
was
okay. Blade 2 was okay.
It was okay. I guess he did the Hobbit stuff. Yeah. The Battle of the Five Army, or he was the writer. He didn't direct them, but he was the writer of those movies. I don't like those Hobbit movies either.
Well, and they're like 5 days long. They don't need to be that long.
Yeah,
and Robert asked, if you don't like Inception, Interstellar, what Chris Nolan movies do you like outside of Batman? Pretty much everything else. I like The Prestige. I like Dunkirk. I thought you did a nice job with that. And, of course, I love the Dark Knight trilogy. So, all right, let's take a break. We're way over. We'll get back to this. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Boy, you struck a nerve with people. El Frodo says, mine is Lord of the Rings, love the books and games, but never liked the movies. I'm kind of with you. I thought they were way too long. I love the books, and I thought there were some good things in the movies, but they were just, they could have done that.
It's not my favorite either. Yeah, but that's a genre that's not really in my wheelhouse, per se.
My least favorite thing about that was you get to the end, and the battle's over. And then there's another hour about what's going to happen to their life after that. It's like, I don't care. You won. Go away.
Right.
Bernardo says, I feel that way about all the Star Wars movies. I liked the original first two.
Agree on that. Empire Strikes Back is a great movie, in my opinion. Even if you remove it from the Star Wars series, like just a standalone movie about just the things that it's about is a good movie. I think that Return of the Jedi is kind of meh. And then, I mean, you know what I've said before about episode one is like a 2 hour pod racing commercial. And episode two is a stupid love story that was just horrible. So episode three was okay. Not as good as A New Hope and Empire, but it was okay. It was palatable. But yeah, for the most part, Star Wars movies aren't great. They're kind of overrated.
The episode three, the thing I will say about that is once he turns and starts whacking little kids, the last part of that movie is as good as anything in the Star Wars universe. But the first part of the whole movie sucked. And then BC in Houston said, I know Fred Fowler is a huge fan of the writer, but the movie Be Cool was an absolute abortion. Couldn't even make it through the entire movie, got up and walked out. I didn't hate it as much as you did, and I do think, and plus I like Cedric the Entertainer a lot, and he was such a big part of that. But it wasn't nearly as good as Get Shorty. It was very much trying to copy the style and dialogue from the first movie, and it didn't really work. And Rock and Rod asks, how do you gents feel about Tombstone? Tombstone is American treasure.
Does anybody not like Tombstone?
It's the most quotable movie maybe ever. We were talking about that yesterday when Powers Booth died.
Yeah.
And here's one, and I'm not going to make fun of you because I've heard a lot of people say this. Pulp Fiction is one for me. It didn't really have direction. I love Tarantino films, but I didn't necessarily like the movie. It's a movie you remember quotes from to me. A lot of people felt that way about it because it was one when it hit, everybody's like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, I always thought that Reservoir Dogs greater than Pulp Fiction, even though Pulp Fiction is the one that got all the critical acclaim. And we're seeing here, JD says, I think Quentin Tarantino's way overrated. What say y'all? I don't believe that because I don't know. Quentin Tarantino hasn't put out a bad movie to me. So I'll go not overrated. I know it's not for everybody. I tried to get my wife to watch some Pulp Fiction. She's like, I don't see what the big deal is. It's all right. It's not one I'm like, it's got to be the greatest thing in the world. That's okay.
For me, there's so many good scenes in that movie that I wasn't too concerned about the plot of it. I'll tell you something else if you've never seen it, and I know they don't make DVDs anymore, but the director's cut of that.
I think they do make
there's
DVDs.
A lot. Well, if you can get your hands on one of those, the director's cut of that is fantastic because there's a bunch of stuff that just made no sense plot-wise. And then you watch it and watch what they took out, and you're like, why did they do that? Because there's all kinds of – and the whole thing is basically callbacks and foreshadowing. Well, if you take out a bunch of foreshadowing and something happens that doesn't make any sense, you're like, okay, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's not a movie you can just watch like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You've got to sit down and dedicate yourself to the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. I'm kind of – pretty much all the Star Wars except for those three I think are garbage. I mean, I watched the Solo movie. It was okay. But I think this last trilogy was just bad. I mean, the first movie, and it was, it was a remake of A New Hope, except you whacked Han Solo. That was it.
So. Yeah. Lamont says Schindler's List. I wouldn't say it was bad, but I couldn't watch it more than once. I think that's fair. That's one of those movies where you're feeling like miserable the whole time. And it's just not a fun movie to watch by any stretch. So, like, you appreciate it as the film, but, yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to watch Schindler's List ever again. No way.
I feel like...
I told you about this one recently, that, speaking of Adam Sandler, that Uncut Gems, I mean, it's unwatchable to me. It was so bad.
At least on that one, people were really polarized. You either loved it or you thought what you did.
Yeah.
So...
I had just gotten a bunch of positive reviews on it, and I just thought it was terrible.
Well, and he got mad that he didn't get an Oscar nomination for it. I'm like, really? Okay. But talking about Schindler's List, there's a group of movies that I feel like you have to see once, but I don't want to see them again because the way you feel watching them is just hopeless. That's one of them. 12 Years a Slave for me, which I thought was a great movie, but it was just...
You don't want to watch it again.
No, and I actually, and I know you disagree on this one, because I thought it was a brilliant movie, but it's just so depressing, was Lone Survivor. I don't know that I could watch it again. I mean, it's so well done, and it's a great movie, and I'm glad I saw it, but yeah, I don't know that I could watch it again. It's just so depressing.
Yeah, I don't know why I love war movies.
Oh, I love war movies. I mean, don't get me wrong, but just that one, for some reason, really got to me. And I don't like...
The thing about these modern war movies, like Lone Survivor, and even now I say modern, and we're talking about stuff that happened, 10, 15 years ago. But like Lone Survivor and what was the one, American Sniper, I think people, when it's happening to people like in your time, it hits a little bit harder. it's like, oh my God, this is really happening right now. Like, it's easy to put stuff that happened in World War II, or especially anything previous to World War II, and just be like, oh yeah, what? That's crazy, but that's just the way the world was back then. Like, when you think about people now doing stuff like that, it's like, oh my God, that's pretty wild.
Well, it's because you served with them and we grew up watching them.
Well, and we're a bunch of spoiled asses now. I mean,
True.
It's almost unimaginable that, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen. And thank God the United States military's technology continues to grow, because there's no way the soldiers are going to be as hard. Because there's no way I wasn't as hard as my grandpa who served in World War II. There's no way.
Yeah, American Sniper's another one I can't watch again. Same thing. I'm just so depressed at the end of it. And again, really good movie. But then there's, you know, there's like, I love stuff from the Vietnam era and World War II. I'll watch any of that. And I mentioned Dunkirk earlier. I thought that was, I love that movie. And Darkest Hour, which was terrific. And then you get into the Apocalypse Now and Full Metal Jacket and Platoon. I'll still watch those things anytime they're on. And maybe it's just because I don't know, because it's the past, I guess.
Yes, and you're not connected to it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, interesting.
All right, I guess we'll talk about sports later on, but yeah, that topic was interesting to me. Tyler and Josh were talking about it, and I thought, yeah, this is a good discussion. And Tim brings up another good Hotel Rwanda. Yep, don't need to see it again. Don't need to see it again.
Yeah. I'll tell you another one, Amistad.
Yep.
Which I think is a great, great movie.
You know what that is, Fred? That's white guilt.
Probably.
Yeah.
If you want to be honest, yeah. Yeah.
But I do like Django, and I'll watch it multiple times. And maybe I'm more comfortable with it because the slave owners are shot dead at the end of the movie. Maybe that's why I feel better about it.
Yeah, that's probably it. I like movies like that, where those guys get whacked. All right, well, my man Lawyer Dave's not there, or is he? I couldn't hear you, Tyler, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. All right, so I'll tell you all about Lawyer Dave, because he's probably out winning money for Blitzers, because that's what he does. And if you've been in any kind of accident, guess what? People are getting back on the road, whether it's car, 18-wheeler, industrial workplace, slip and fall. Lawyer Dave has you covered. And how about this? If you get hurt in an accident and you can't afford to go to the doctor, well, if he takes your case, guess what? They're going to take care of that for you. They're going to set you up with a doctor and get you taken care of. And how about this? He doesn't get paid a dime until you win. So there's no money out of your pocket. He likes to gamble. He'll gamble on you. He gambles on himself. And guess what? He does really, really well. Practices everywhere in Texas. Doesn't charge for his consultations either. So if you just have a general legal question you want to ask, give him a call. And if he can't help you, he'll put you with somebody who can. And if he doesn't think you have a case, he'll be honest and tell you. Based right here in Houston. And listen, he handles a lot of stuff for me beyond personal injury. And he's just a fantastic lawyer. He loves taking care of the Blitzers. Give him a call right now. 713-626-8900. 713-626-8900. Or get him on Twitter, at Lawyer Dave Law, or go to lawyerdave.com. And if you can't remember all that, just hit me up on Twitter or on email, and I will get you the information. Need a lawyer? Better Dial Dave.
Houston's only FM sports station is now bringing you more talk with less commercials.
I heard so much talk.
Making that commute to work even better, even if it's just from the kitchen to the living room.
So, yeah, there's a lot of advantages.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And you know what's funny, A.J., is like I found a bunch of like cool stuff I wanted to get to today that I thought would make good topics of conversation. That wasn't one of them, but I think it's my favorite thing so far. So,
well, I just stole it from something Josh and Tyler were talking about. So
it's not stealing. It's called riffing off of.
It's like see if that would have been one of the times had Josh stuck around for a segment, and I think we'll do more of this going forward. I want to get the shows cross-talking, so maybe you can carry over a little bit of audience into it from show to show. And, you know, like Joel and Nick can talk to Josh and, you know, you hate to, I mean, John does 4 hours of radio, so I hate to ask him to do any extra stuff. But if Charlie or Joel wanted to sit in on a segment with John and, you know, kind of talk about what they're doing in his last segment of his show, just to kind of, you know, get the audience, maybe carry over a little bit of what they're talking about into the next show. And maybe you gain some listeners that way.
Yeah, I like the idea. I've had fun talking to Josh. He's a fun dude, and I've enjoyed listening to his show. And I really like what Barry and Joel and Charlie are doing. I mean,
agreeing.
And
Nick, who's, you know, Nick is he's found himself all over this damn station all of a sudden.
Yeah, Nick's doing a great job too. And yeah, I've always said, I mean, Charlie's really good at what he does. It's not for me, but Joel kind of brings an angle to it that makes that show work for me. So. And Nick, I mean, his involvement. So I like where we are right now, and hopefully this will, as we come out of the Roniverse, then things will really pick up. And I like doing crosstalk like that. So I'm happy to do it whenever. 832, as you guys forgot to add another movie. You both sadly don't like Mad Max Fury Road. I thought that was awful.
I don't hate it as much as Fred. It's not my favorite. I didn't think it was like Best Picture worthy. But I didn't think it was awful either. It just wasn't. And especially, I mean, if you try to compare it to the original Mad Max, it was kind of awful. Probably not as bad as, like, trying to compare the girls' Ghostbusters to regular Ghostbusters, but still not the same.
Close enough. Close enough to me. Oh, man. So one thing that happened last night after we went to dinner, my plan was to go home and I wanted
to play. Make sweet love to your wife.
No, I've got no interest in that. I wanted to play the poker tournament last night on Poker Bros. And before you guys ask, hit up Jerry Bonos if you want in the club, because it's a lot of fun. And I didn't realize it started at 7:30, so I log on at 8:05, and it's like, wow, 35 minutes in. Great, I've missed it. So I decided to play cash. And I had one of the weirdest things happen last night, in a good way. I was playing a 30-cent, 60-cent cash game. And we had a $350 pot.
Whoa.
On one hand. And
how does the pot build to this?
Well, there was a guy who I bought in for like 102 and grinded my way up to about 150. And I really didn't have any hands. I mean, I was card dead. I just, you know, was betting position. And if the board looked soft, I'd make a play. And so I just kind of picked up some chips that way. And got up to about 150, and I got pocket queens about two hands before this and raised with that and took down about a $10 pot. So the guy to my right had like $283. I don't know how he got it because he had it before I got there.
So he could have sat down with it, but we don't know.
No, well, it's a limit on 30. I think it's like 150 is the most you can buy in for.
Okay.
So clearly he'd won some hands. And, I mean, I've been there 2 hours. I've raised one hand the entire night. So, first position, pocket queens again. So, I raise it to $2.40. Lots of respect. I get four callers, which is not ideal at all. And
because you know at least one of them has an ace.
At least
a king.
And that's what you're king.
When you have queens, you don't want anyone to play with ace rag or king rag, obviously.
Exactly. Because once that ace hits, you might as well have pocket ducks. You're done. Well, the flop comes 8 queen jack rainbow.
Oh, that is nice.
That doesn't suck, right? So at this point, I'm going to try to trap. So I check, and everybody checks around. And then the turn card is another jack. So I knew at the point, I got queens full. I ain't losing a hand.
Right, unless somebody has pocket jacks.
Which I, frankly,
there's
never,
almost zero chance of it. Yeah.
On that freaking site, no, there's about a 50% chance.
Well, that's true.
I've seen quads like 11 times the last few days. But because he didn't re-raise it pre-flop, I didn't even consider jacks were a possibility. And I thought H-jack maybe. But either way, I'm good. So he bets $5. I call. Everybody else folds. We get to the river, which is a blank, and I don't really care what the river is at that point. I'm just figuring out how can I get the most money out of this.
And are we now assuming that he's got a straight?
Yeah, I figure. Well, at this point, I don't really care what he has. I just want to get all his chips.
Okay. And you're probably hoping he has a straight.
Well, I'm hoping he has a straight or a
smaller boat, maybe even.
Yeah, or King Jack, or maybe he's got Jack Queen. I mean, I'm hoping he has a big hand because I want as much money out of this as I can get. So he raises to 15. I raise it to 30. And then he raises it to 45. And I'm like, okay, this is dream scenario. I just shove it all in. I have about 119 left. And he snap calls me. And, yeah, he had 9-10. So he'd flopped a straight.
Oof.
But it wound up being a $350 pot in a friggin' 30-cent, 60-cent game. So I was lucky that it happened against the guy with all the chips. And, you know, the only thing I would say, if I'm sitting on a straight in that situation, I might have just called the original 30 rather than repot me, because I figured that's a nice pot if I win, and if I don't, then it minimizes it. But otherwise,
did he cuss at you?
No. He just, you know, he made it. He had to call, and I'm like, maybe.
No.
I mean, that's an awful lot of money to call with a paired board. But I don't know if I could have done it. But again, I was trapping him, and he was trapping me, and I had the better trap and got lucky. So,
did you say? Did you respond with, if you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right?
No,
you got to
know when
to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Did you say that to him?
I did not. No, I didn't.
That's
really
a poem.
Anything.
A lot of people might not know. That's a poem by the great American poet Kenneth Rogers. Wrote that
the
poem.
Late great yes. American poet.
That's why he's a great American poet. Once you die, you automatically become great.
Yeah, yeah. That's why when I die, I'll suddenly be a great writer. But
that's right.
No, I didn't. I mean, I felt kind of bad for the guy because, you know, that's an awful big pot, and I mean, That's hard to get away from in that situation, especially when you flop it and you think you're trapping everybody. But and then I probably gave away about 40 of it back the rest of the night. In the old days, I would have just said, okay, I'm out of here.
Did you give it directly back to that guy?
No, I just passed it around the table.
Did he leave the table at that point?
No, he hung around for a while because he still had a nice stack. I mean, he still had over $100 left.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that was kind of a body blow. He sort of went south from there. And but I was having too much fun, actually. It was just a fun group of people. Jerry Bowe was there, and Rogelio, and the group that it's basically, you see the same people every night, and they're all just a lot of fun. And, you know, so I didn't mind throwing some of it back just because I was enjoying myself. And then we played the little noon tournament today, and we get the final table, and I see AJ and Rogelio, and I'm like, oh, this is great. This is going to be the three of us playing for the whole thing.
No, it wasn't. No. I've played terrible poker for the last week.
Well, you were really short when I got there, so.
Yeah, because I didn't believe in somebody had a big pocket pair, and I didn't believe them, and it cost me.
But I wound up winning that thing today, too, so I've been on. I'm playing really well, and it's funny because I'm not running really well with the cards. I haven't seen. I can't tell you the last time I saw kings or aces. It's been forever. But just getting luck at the right time and enjoying playing. So probably be on there tonight again playing the tournament. We'll see how it goes. All right, let's take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And inevitably, I get the 20 questions from people. What are you playing on? What are you playing on? Hit up Jerry Bono's on Twitter and join the club. It's a lot of fun. I have to admit that quality of play is pretty damn good, even in the little noon tournament today. I mean, getting heads up was a friggin' battle.
And you know what my biggest complaint is about that? Is you can't do it on your laptop. I don't like playing on my phone.
I don't either, because I need my phone usually while I'm right. doing stuff. So
like, it's like I've got to basically shut it down and do just that, and I don't like that.
But, okay, yeah. Mucho sent me a message. It was him. He was Jay Chills that had the big hand against me that we got into. So
did he? Yeah, ask him what he thought of the song that I sang him.
Well, he's listening. So
okay, I hope he enjoyed it.
But no, I'm not faulting anything he did there. It just turned into a train wreck. What are you going to do? And I got to tell you, I'm having so much fun doing this. It's silly, and I mean, I feel like I have fun chatting with everybody and just BSing, and when I lose, I don't.
That's the other thing. I hate chatting because it's on my phone. Like,
yeah,
the chat function on like PokerStars, you can chat while you're playing. You have to like take your eyes off the table to chat in that. I don't like that.
Yeah, that's I'm not a fan of the site, and the site clearly does not like me, because I've taken a lot of beats on there, but I don't know, maybe it's just getting old and enjoying the game. None of it bothers me anymore. If I take a beat, I just, like, even heads up today, I had a big lead. I got in with fours against ace queen, and he ran out of straight, and then he had a big lead. In the old days, I would have just gone crazy and, all right, I'm done here. Just grinded my way back, got the lead back, and then got lucky to hit a straight on the river when he hit his two pair on the river, and that was the end of heads up. So it's different, man. It's fun right now. When it quits being fun, which maybe it will, I'll quit doing it. But yeah, I hate the site. I don't think it's very user friendly. I hate that it's on my phone, but I really am enjoying the people playing, and it does feel like my old home game where everybody got to know each other and, you know, we had fun when we were doing it. So I miss that. We had a really good group of guys, a bunch of guys that played in World Series events and stuff like that. And you can work on your game against really good players, which is the best way to improve. And yeah, I've been impressed with the play. I've been impressed with the people. So it's fun. If you're looking for something to do, like I said, hit up my man, Jerry. It's a private club, but you know, we get 20, 30 people in those tournaments now. So it's not a walk in the park. You got to actually, you know, win some hands.
You got to know when to hold them.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, that's enough poker. It's been a fun stretch between that and then winning the thing today, which I didn't even intend to play. I just looked up at 12:03 and had nothing left to do for the day. I'm like, let me jump in and play, and worked out okay. Did you see what the Texans had their latest press conference with a coordinator?
I didn't. I saw it because I got sent the quotes. I didn't take the time to read them because I don't really care.
Yeah, well, there's nothing.
It's Tim Kelly, right?
Right, and there's nothing he said that's worth a damn.
Well, yeah, I saw one quote. It said, "I'm really happy with the options we'll have at running back with Duke and David Johnson." Okay, I mean, you have to say that. You can't go out and say, yeah, our GM really stuck us with this David Johnson contract. We've got two of the top 10 paid running backs in the NFL, and we have zero top 10 quality caliber running backs in the NFL. So that's a pain. He's not allowed to say that. So he's just got to say, I'm excited about what we'll be able to do with those guys.
Well, I'd be excited if you used Duke Johnson better than you did last year. You spent a third-round pick on him, and there's so many things he's good at that you never took advantage of. So, yeah, good luck with that. But, yeah, that was the thing that struck me. And that and the Texans running back combo is now David Duke?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not calling him Johnson & Johnson. That's David Duke, man.
Of course it is. It's David Duke.
713 asks, do they want the offense to also embody the city of Houston as well?
Tough.
Yeah.
Gritty.
It's going to be
always hurt.
Yeah. And slow.
Oft injured.
And boring.
Terrible with hands.
Oh, man.
Slow to develop.
Yeah. You seen the, we were talking about Dak yesterday. Have you seen the latest on him?
I just saw that, I mean, he passed up a contract to become the highest paid player in the history of the NFL, and somehow he thought that wasn't enough. I'm never, Dak Prescott's going to, I like to use this word sometimes, he's going to rue the day. He'll rue the day he passed up that money, is what I believe.
Well, to be fair, according to Adam Schefter, they are in agreement. The question is the fifth year. He doesn't want a fifth year. The Cowboys want a fifth year. That's why he's making these ridiculous demands for the last year of the contract. So I think it's why it's going to wind up getting done. And it's probably
insane to me.
It's way too much money. And Schefter says it's probably going to come out to 35 a year, which...
That, to me, that's still too much.
It is. I agree. I don't think he should be paid like Russell Wilson.
Because he's not like Russell Wilson.
No. And you know, I heard when we were coming back from dinner, I heard Jason and Patrick Creighton talking about it a little bit. So I sent Jason the stuff from ESPN that we talked about yesterday. I mean, I want a guy who's going to win games for me.
Yep.
And it's just... and hey, he's good enough because he's got so much. You know what he is? Yeah, it's gonna make some people mad. He's sexy Matt Schaub, is what he is. When Matt Schaub was good,
he's Matt Schaub, but probably in a better situation. Even I mean, he's found himself in a position where there's so much around him that it's gonna be hard for him to be crappy. But do you think that he's enough is the answer is the question. And I'm of the belief that no.
He's got to be better. And, yes, you can look at the stats and say, wow, he threw for almost 5,000 yards. And we dived into some things yesterday that explained that, okay, maybe that's not exactly, you know, not exactly indicative of what he is. But I'm not going to rule out the fact that he can get better and that he can start winning some games against – playoff teams and, you know, start having better numbers against playoff teams.
Let me ask you a question.
But I'm not paying him until he does.
Let's do a hypothetical here. If Matt Stafford and Dak Prescott traded places today, Dak goes to Detroit, Matt Stafford goes to Dallas, everything else stays the same, who's the better quarterback in the next 3 years?
Well, I don't think that's an easy answer for me because I don't think Matt Stafford has an up arrow on him.
No, he doesn't. But that's beside the point.
Because I still think Dak can get better. And if he does, then, like I said all along, if he takes another step, they're a Super Bowl team. But yeah,
you know what the up arrow next to Dak would be, or next to a Matt Stafford would be? Actually playing with good players for the first time since Calvin Johnson left. Like that, yeah. That would put an up arrow next to his name automatically. I'm not convinced that Dak is this great. I think Dak's in a really good situation. And, you know, good for him. But are you going to pay him like he's the reason you're in the good situation? Because that, I don't think I believe.
You know what? It just occurred to me. You know what I think he is? Alex Smith in Kansas City.
Okay. I mean, that might be fair. He's probably going to put up bigger numbers than Alex Smith. But I think that your point is made that... And when Alex Smith was in Kansas City, they were a good team. When they brought in a quarterback that was great, they became the best team. That's the difference.
Well, and I don't think he's that. And I would argue that maybe the Cowboys have every bit the offensive talent around him that Kansas City has.
Well, I mean, let's simplify it even. Let's go an example that hits closer to home. If Dak and Deshaun traded places, who do you think is going to be more successful? Like, do you think – I mean, to me – that automatically upgrades Deshaun Watson. You get him away from Bill O'Brien. You get him with some, with a top end receiver. He's got one of the best running backs in the league. To me, it's automatic. Deshaun Watson looks way better than he has since he's been in Houston. And Dak, he has to take the burden that Deshaun's had of, you know, well, especially now with no DeAndre Hopkins, of having a bunch of number two and number three wide receivers. You've got an overpaid backfield that you don't know how good they are or how healthy they can stay. And you've got this albatross coach. Isn't it obvious that Dak would struggle? To me, it's obvious he'd struggle more than Deshaun has here.
Oh, no doubt. I don't think there's any doubt about that at all. But, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to get to see that. So, well, fortunately, because I'd still rather see Deshaun here than Dak. But,
you know, John and I talked about it today. Oh, I guess we got to go to a break. I'll talk. John and I did a sportsmap.com video today. And I'll preview it for you on the other side of this break. How about that? How's that for a radio tease?
That sounds like a great idea. So let's go to break. We'll be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.